Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Our scripture this morning comes from the 16th chapter of Mark. It is the story of the resurrection. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. They didn't say nothing for long. They were seized with amazement and terror, yes. And immediately, Mark says, they didn't say anything, but they eventually shared this news, because the news got out. And they met him in Galilee, and the word spread. And here we are. Thanks in large part to these women. There are problems that sometimes seem insurmountable. Is that right? There are times when the road we're on seems blocked by a big stone and we have no way around it, that there is no way around or over. And surely you have faced something that you just couldn't imagine getting around. There's the teenager who worries that she'll never fit in. You or I might think this is trivial. She's just a girl. Of course she's going to fit in. She probably fits in now and she just doesn't even know it. In terms of the world's problems, this girl's problem of not fitting in is really low on our list. But this young woman does not think so. It's not a small matter to her, nor does it feel like a temporary problem for her. She's asking us to take her seriously, because she doesn't see a way around it. She believes she'll never fit in. Never, ever fit in. That isn't just a problem that plagues teenagers, is it? The Rotary Club is inviting everybody this month to a meeting in Bloomington where a woman will give a talk about imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome posits that you're not good enough. You're a fraud. No matter who you are, male or female, president or plebe, you are a fraud. You're not good enough. Look around you. Everybody around you is succeeding so much more winsomely than you are. But you are a nobody. Your internal critic says so regularly. You just don't measure up. Imposter syndrome. It's a way of saying that you can't overcome even yourself. You are your own worst critic, and you can't get out of your own way. It's a problem.
It's a roadblock. It's a barrier. You've been struggling with it your whole life. Will you ever get around that big rock in the road? Some 28 minutes into her voyage to Sri Lanka, the Dali, almost 1,000 feet long, struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge and knocked it down. That's spanning the Patapsco River. Six highway workers, last time I checked in on this story closely, six were presumed dead. Our nation's 17th largest port, Baltimore, is shut down, possibly for weeks. They're working on it. Interstate 695, one of the busiest roads on the East Coast, is closed, is gone. The Maryland governor has declared a state of emergency. Sometimes the road we're on simply disappears. And finding a new path takes a while. And for some, it feels like it's going to take forever. The road is blocked. Our path has been washed away. The problem seems insurmountable. When will the war in Ukraine end? Peace in the Middle East seems as fragile and as difficult to attain as ever. When are we getting our elevator? We've been waiting faithfully for so long. How long, O Lord? When am I going to fit in? When am I going to fit in? How long, O Lord? How long? Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, they are wondering the same sort of thing. They're wondering and worrying, first of all, how are we going to even get into the tomb? Who's going to remove that stone for us? It's a big one. These women are worried about this roadblock. And so often it is with us. We worry about things that actually aren't there. We worry about things that don't come to pass. But besides worrying about this stone, which they're going to discover is not there, besides worrying about that, these women have other worries too. And it's not hard for us to imagine being in their shoes. Their friend is dead. How will they get over this grief? How are they going to find the new normal? How are they going to move on? They know they will, but how will they move on without a limp? How will they make it without Jesus? Jesus's death is like a big stone right in the middle of their narrow path. How can we go on without our loved one? How can we continue our journey bearing this weight of loss? I have heard you say the exact same things to me about losses you have borne and are bearing. These women and we know what it's like to face roadblocks. I'm underemployed. I'll never get through grad school. I'm like Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown never got to kick the ball because Lucy kept pulling it away from him. That's what my life is like. And even if I got the chance, I might not make the goal. I'm like James Bond. He feels terrible because all of his girlfriends keep getting killed by evil spies. How are the dock workers who work paycheck to paycheck in Baltimore going to make ends meet without steady work? This may not be a problem for them. They may miss zero paychecks, but they don't know that. And like those women, maybe they are worried. Worried about what they think they are facing. Worried about what seems insurmountable. Worried about what seems to be unable to be reconstructed. We know what it's like to have a boulder in our path blocking the way. Those women, those brave women, those grieving women, they are worried about how they're going to get into that tomb to prepare that body. How are they going to remove that stone? They're carrying the towels. They're carrying the sadness. They're carrying the heavy frankincense. They're carrying the heavy myrrh. And even though it's early in the morning, early on the first day of the week, they're bone tired. The world as they know is over. As it turns out, of course, they don't need to roll the stone away. God already took care of that with the resurrection. And there's no need to grieve. God took care of that as well. Yes, Jesus is gone, but the man dressed in white says he's only gone to Galilee. go there and find him, meet him there, and tell the others. It was Frederick Buechner who wrote, "The resurrection means the worst thing is never the last thing. Meet Jesus in Galilee, and on the way, tell the others." When that teenage girl comes to us and says she feels like she's never going to fit in, maybe we should take her for a walk with her sisters. That trinity of women who went to the tomb very early on the first day of the week. Maybe we should remind ourselves together, walking with our young friend, how deeply tired and defeated those sisters felt. And yet Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome got to the tomb and discovered that God had been busy. God had been at work. Resurrection reminds us that God can and does clear a path. God can roll away any stone, and you can't bury God's love and expect it to stay buried for long. And there it is. That's it. We put our arm around her and we say, "That's it. That's God's amazing love." Resurrection reminds us that God's love can do anything. And the last thing that God wants for you or for me is for us to feel left out or heavily burdened for long. I don't know how God does it, but God can, God does, and God will. On Good Friday, for the benediction, Rachel and Julia Melgreen, the pastor over at our sister church, shared these words as part of the benediction. "We believe that Jesus shows us the very best. Grace where grace is undeserved, humility in the face of power, justice in the face of oppression, love that overcomes." And that's what we want to tell our friend. Be patient, take heart. God's love, which can roll away stones, God's love, trust it, God's love overcomes. The Lord is risen. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.